Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the 12th of March, 2015. I was reading a little blurb here, and I just want to read it to you. It's interesting, and it's weird how you can read something, and then out of the blue, when you're not even experiencing something, it can make you experience something, or maybe revisit something. And I know that at times, we don't want to revisit some things. In fact, there's a lot of things we probably don't want to revisit in our lives, but part of it is important, because Jesus is the one that can wipe away every tear. Jesus is the one that can change your life path. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, you're tired of the way you're going and you want to do something different, well, try this program and try this college and try this school and try this thing. Jesus is the one that is going to transform you. But these things have happened, and I don't know if you've ever had an experience of betrayal. If you have, then I can relate to you, and I sympathize with you. If you haven't, there's a chance you may never. And that would be good. They would never have to experience that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to have to experience it. As sad as that sounds, you will experience some kind of betrayal at some time. But if you do, if you have, then this will help. If you haven't and you're going to and you do, then this will really help if you can think back on it. But listen to this story of betrayal, as it were. Judas was one of Jesus's very closest friends. So remember that. Jesus said this in Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Luke 22:48. Are you betraying me with a kiss? He looked at him. Are you betraying me with a kiss? Listen, Judas was one of Jesus' very closest friends. He had been handpicked to be a disciple. He had been given the special responsibility of being treasurer for the entire band of disciples. He held the money bag, right? A responsibility that he had enjoyed, as it gave him access to personal petty cash as well as prestige in the eyes of others. He was the money. Hey, can we sell that and get a bunch of money out of it? Hey, what do you got going on there? In charge of the money, the treasurer, as it were. Yet, it was this disciple who betrayed his Lord and friend with a kiss. And although Jesus clearly knew the betrayal was coming, it was still a knife-like stab to his heart. He knew it was coming, but it still hurt. Remember, he picked him. Here's the question for you. Have you ever been betrayed? Here's a couple, three things. By a sibling who has stolen your inheritance. Well, that's happened in the Bible. By a spouse who has taken a secret lover. That's happened in the Bible, too. By a coworker who has taken the credit for a job you did. Gee, we start thinking of Joseph. And these things have happened. There's stories about these in the Scriptures. So in the Scriptures, there's stories of betrayal. From a lover to someone who steals an inheritance to someone who takes credit for a job that you did. We need to look at that and understand that when we experience one of these things, because these can happen today and have happened, probably maybe all of them or at least one or two have happened to every one of us or will happen, it's a recurring event, and we need to know this. If you've experienced betrayal, then what you can do at that point is understand something of the stabbing pain Judas inflicted at the very outset of Jesus' uphill struggle to the cross and would resolve never to betray another. So here's the deal. Jesus' death, which he gave his life, his burial and his resurrection were absolutely imperative to set us apart. If you receive his gift of eternal life, it was purchased for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I say all three of these because I don't like to separate those, but through his death. It's through his death, but he was buried as he was going to be in there forever. And then his resurrection, he raised from the dead. Okay, so we need to understand, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we're really following a really goofy thing here. You know, we're just kind of following some guy that is, you know, stories were made up about him. We finished yesterday all three of John's letters. They were all written about the year 90. About the year 90. It was, let me see, when was this then? It was, no, not there, right here. Looks like it was last year, the book of Jude. Yeah, right towards the end of last year, about 4 months ago, we were looking at the book of Jude. It's a, really impressive to me to realize that the letter of Jude was written between 10 and 20 years prior to those letters that John wrote. Now, what does it tell us? It tells us that it wasn't something that just happened for a couple of years around John's time. It wasn't something that happened early on and then didn't happen again. Because John wrote about it in the year 90. But Jude wrote about the same things 20 years before. And some of the earliest deciding factors would be put it around 10 years before, but I believe it was closer to 20 years before. But even if it was 10 years, in a 10-year period, you think things could get worked out, okay? Things should be able to be worked out. And quite honestly, since John wrote so decisively on the issue, it's interesting to revisit just for a little bit here today of what Jude said 20 years before that. Here's what he said, starting in Jude verse 5. Again, a very short letter, as it were, in comparison to the other epistles or the other letters or the other books of the New Testament, just 25 verses. But listen just a couple verses here. He said, I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Now, the Lord took them out of Egypt, the Jews out of Egypt. But if people didn't want to believe, they were destroyed. It's no different today. God can get you out of all kinds of harrowing circumstances, horrible times. Our country, our world is at a place right now that it's just volatile. There's probably nobody, well, there is nobody our age, meaning let's say there's no people that are 40 years old today that remember in their own mind what it was like during World War II, because they weren't born. They were not in existence. So the flavor of the world, now the thing about today, which is different from, you know, 60, 70 years ago, is that the technology is to such a point today where we can have communication, bam, instantaneous. We know things that are happening almost real time all around the globe. Last night we were just watching a little bit of television, and boom, they came on saying there had been a shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. Now that is literally thousands of miles away from people, tens of thousands of miles away from people around the other side of the world. Bam, that quick on cable news, boom, you see it. And you can actually see things happening in the streets real time. There might be a second or two delay, but it's not like it was 70 years ago. You know, I can remember growing up in the 60s, and what would happen is when the big craze came about surfer shirts, those were shirts that were like green and white or red and white or blue and white or yellow and white, and they had stripes, and they went horizontally around you. And these shirts were long sleeve, short sleeve, and they were just called surfer shirts. I remember when they came out and people were wearing them, they had already been out in California for months and months. And we thought we were like hip when we got these surfer shirts, but they'd already been being worn. The same with the surfer hairdo, you know, blonde. That kind of left me out. But, you know, in the way it was combed and blonde, you know, bushy blonde hair. That was a song. There were songs written about it, and that helped perpetrate it happening. But it happened in a place, and it took months to make it to just up the coast, you know, 900 or 1,000 miles to where it was in style and happening. Today, whatever's happening right now can be happening all over the planet at the same time. So it's weird. So what I'm saying with that is information travels rapidly, rapidly. But what happened to the Jews is they were saved, and subsequently, those who didn't believe were destroyed. It's going to be the same now. You can be almost protected if you get involved with some people, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, then it's not going to matter. You know, you might have been prevented from a couple of things, but you're still going to go down. It said, angels, verse 6, who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, that's a good place to look about that, because Sodom and Gomorrah were the two major cities, and you can actually go to where they existed today, but there are other cities around them that were just as influenced. Those are just the big cities around that area. Since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Who is this referring to? I mean, what's happening? Well, if you go back and look at the first four verses, the introduction, the salutation, the dear so-and-so, listen to what it says, verse 1 through 4. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Christ Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, he says, I just want to talk about our salvation. I just want to talk about our common salvation and just encourage you and be an encourager. But something happened. And I had to really, really, you know, encourage you to contend for the faith. Because why? This verse right here. Certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Those people are going to be destroyed, my friends. I was talking about this just yesterday, and I was just talking a few minutes before we came on the other day with my buddy Doug, and here's what's interesting when we think about it. You can look at the outside version of something. Ted Haggard's church in Colorado was a going concern. It was happening. If you could go back and get old information or maybe some old videos or see some stuff, you'd see a guy that was preaching righteousness, holiness, set-apartness, godliness, was teaching that the things that the world is beginning to embrace, homosexuality, drug use, those things, it's wrong. It's the exact opposite of what God wants us to do. We need to love those people and allow Jesus to change their lives. The music was happening. The church was huge. It was a mega church. People were getting saved. People were coming to church. And if you looked at that, you'd go, wow, it's happening. In that area, it'd be a cool church to go to because they had a lot of programs, a lot of stuff. I'm sure they had lattes. I don't remember. You know, all the stuff that's happening today, the big screens, the music, the production, all the stuff. And there were people, and there still are going to that church, by the way, today, that love the Lord, that know Jesus, that were transformed, that were changed, that were made new, that believe the things that were being preached, and subscribe to them. However, at the very same time that was happening, Ted Haggard was involved in homosexual encounters with male prostitutes and doing drugs. Not just one time, which, quite honestly, that's enough. But if he repeatedly was having these encounters sexually and with drugs, and then would go on a Sunday or any other day that he was doing something and preach animately that those kind of activities were wrong and godless. Now, you've got to say there's something wrong with that. Now, he may admit to this day, I don't know that there was. He's got another thing going on now. But what that shows you, tell me if this, certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who long before him were marked out for condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. You see, he could preach all this stuff that it was not right for you to do any of this stuff and then go do the very stuff. Now, we're not talking somebody that had a problem and was saying, look, I need some help, got with his elders and said, I'm struggling in this area, in this area, in this area, because he could have no victory. Or we're talking about anybody that has come from the world, has had some kind of non-victorious living. I don't know how small or how dramatic it was. But when God changes you, what happens is you don't want to do that. You may struggle with things. You may have struggled with thoughts and actions, but you don't want to do them. You don't want to pursue them. And it may be a long road that you go down. But when you're going down that road with all of these things at your disposal for help, I don't know how many programs they had there for people that are coming off of drugs and alcohol and violence and, you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the 60s. I don't know. I'm sure they had a ton because most of the large churches have all kinds of programs. Even the middle-sized churches, churches of a couple of hundred, 600, 700, have wonderful programs. Even some of the churches that have just 100 people, 50, 100 people have great programs to help people through those things. But it doesn't help if you don't use them. And even more than that, it doesn't help if you don't have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, because you can go through the motions on all the stuff. On all that stuff. Trust me, a sibling who's stolen your inheritance, well, that's somebody that's related to you by blood. It can happen, and it has happened, and it's biblical that it's happened. Somebody you work with takes the credit for a job that you did. You do something, you work hard to get something done, and somebody else takes the credit. You know, I've seen that happen in my life. You know, people can just rob you of that. And most of the time, you just go, whatever, you know, whatever. A spouse who's taken a secret lover. That is so prevalent today. Many of those kind of situations can be worked out. Many of all these situations can be worked out, but if they're not dealt with through Christ, they're going to happen again. It's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. So you could preach about all that stuff, teach about all that stuff, show the answer is Christ, but if a person doesn't turn to Christ and is transformed by the renewing of their mind, it's going to go down again. It's going to happen again. It's going to continue to happen. So Jude's purpose was saying, look, these false teachers are going to be annihilated. These false teachers are going to be destroyed. It's going to happen. It goes on. It says, in the same manner, these men, verse 8, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. You see, by dreaming, by having big visions, you know, big vision, and having all this stuff happen, all these things happen. Stephen Furtick is a young kid. He's a kid. Doesn't mean that he can't be used of God and dramatically used of God, but to buy this huge home, he and his wife, I don't even know if they have any children, to buy, you know, a multi, $10, $15 million home and then kind of wrangle it and kind of lie about it and kind of not, you know. But they get caught up into that scene, and that's the scene that's out there. Everybody get involved in that. You have these pastors that are struggling and getting picked on, and then they go to another church where another pastor takes them under his wing and says, I'm going to minister to these guys because they're getting beat up. Actually, those guys need to be spanked and not need to be coddled. They blew it. They were young, and it went to their head. This scripture talks about that. Not a new convert. Well, what's a new convert? I think a new convert is probably someone who's been saved for, you know, 5 years, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, and then put in a senior position with no restrictions and no authority above him. That can be really, really bad. You can be really sharp, but that can be really bad. That can be really, really bad. You can also have somebody that's many years in a position, and then they're launched into some position that's huge, and they don't know how to handle it, and they're not willing to listen to anybody. God wants us to understand that this has been happening. these kind of things have been happening. All this trial and tribulation has been happening and will continue to happen. Again, we're 20 years before John writes three letters that we have record of. He writes these letters and saying, look, you got to watch out. This stuff is going to be happening. Again, 20 years before that, the same thing was happening. And Jude is very specific about it. He actually said some things about them. Okay? Here's what he said. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain and penned. For pay, they have rushed headlong into the air of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men who are in hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness is reserved forever. And about these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are the grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. You can look around and see people that have been doing that and have done that. And it's easy to get into that and then get people to back you to do that same stuff. Jude goes on to say this, but you, beloved, you have to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last times, there should be mockers, followers after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up by your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. It's a battle, and it's not we don't just cruise through and have a great time. There are struggles, there's trials, there's tribulations. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It will happen. We are going to experience it. There is only one way. As we close today, and you guys have a wonderful weekend, and fellowship, and get into fellowship with other Christians, face to face, eye to eye, be encouraged, let the Scriptures change you, let God's Holy Spirit minister to you. As we just go into this weekend to do that, I want to leave you with the benediction. The end of this letter of Jude says this: now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. That's what we have to hang on to, that he is able to keep us from stumbling, and he is able to make us stand. He is able to make us stand, and he is able to keep us from stumbling. You cannot do that. Your church cannot do that. Your country cannot do that. Your family cannot do that. Your friends cannot do that. Only Christ can do that, and he will. It is a promise. It is an absolute promise. Hang on to his promises this week and get into fellowship. Get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds and understand that he is able to keep you from stumbling. He is able to stand in the presence of his glory, and you'll be blameless with great joy because of what Christ did, because his Holy Spirit dwells in you, because God the Father called you through his Spirit. You can be blameless. You are blameless in him. And we need to know that and understand that and stand on those premises. So Monday, we're going to be on the 16th there jumping into something. I'm not sure where we're going to be, but we'll find out. And we'll find out on Monday. So you guys have a wonderful weekend. God bless. Take care.